shore.
Yes, it did. It came right across, right down over top of us, right there.
There is the Hurricane Landfall Project truck. It's all set up, strapped down. We're going to turn all the switches on in just a little while. Standing outside of the Chevy Tahoe, we are getting into the eye wall of Hurricane Gene right now. Four came in on shore here along the southeast coast of Florida.
These little bullet cams right here that we will use to record that surge.
It's about 9 o'clock now, central time, which means that if we set them up and turn them on right now, they'd run until about noon tomorrow.
Does thunderstorm activity appear to consolidate around that eye?
That is storm surge from the Atlantic Ocean, the overwash coming in.
You're listening to Stories from the Hurricane Highway, the weekly podcast series that takes an in-depth look back at over two decades of tracking hurricanes, technology, behind-the-scenes stories, and much more. I'm your host, Mark Suddeth. So glad you could join me, and thank you for supporting this exclusive podcast via Patreon. Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. This is the Christmas 2020 edition. Well, close to it anyway. I'm dropping this on the evening of December 23rd, 2020. So it's practically, well, it's the night before Christmas. And before we get started, I just want to tell you all thank you and how much I appreciate that you have supported this podcast, all of these projects. We've done so much in the year 2020. The podcast is supposed to be a retrospective look back at, in some cases, a couple of decades or more, very little in the way of current events. But every once in a while, we'll let that sneak in. And this is one of those times that I want to thank you for helping to make my 2020 a little bit more bearable. Hopefully I was able to make yours the same. You were able to ride along with us on some incredible journeys. We've accomplished a lot, contributed a lot to the science. We're still learning about all of that. And it's all because of you, the power of crowdfunding, but not just the funding. You know, the money is what makes the world go round. I say that often, but as important, and sometimes more importantly, it's the ideas, the encouragement, the innovation, and you know, just the fact that I know that you're there on the other side of whatever device it may be that you're tuning in from, listening and watching, communicating with us, giving us feedback. We all appreciate it. I do. You know, I'm the face of this whole thing, so to speak, the lead singer of the band, if you will, and which goes very nicely with my whole musical background, if I may say so myself. But seriously, my family appreciates it. My colleagues appreciate it. We were able to accomplish a lot. Stay safe doing so this year. In the year 2020, the most bizarre year probably any of us have ever gone through. And we made it. At least we're close to it. And so thank you. Seriously, I really appreciate it. So now let's get on, go back in our time machine and go back into time, as it were, 15 years ago, leaving 2020 behind, go back to a year when things were simpler than they were, if you think about it. Oh my goodness. But the year 2005, that's what we're still looking at. And that was a monumental year, as you know. And it was huge from the hurricane perspective, from the projects that we began, all kinds of stuff. So what I'm going to do tonight, this will be fairly short. I'm still trying to round up guests to come in over Zoom audio and talk with me. That is proving to be a lot more difficult than I imagined or that I wanted it to be. I have to realize that people are busy and sometimes they may not be feeling good and they just don't want to talk at the moment. Their voice isn't so functional, whatever. I get it. So we'll be patient. But it's just more fun when there's a guest, you know, joining me and helping to make this more than just my stories. You get their side of the story as well. So we're going to keep working on that in the future, down the road. And I want to have these every week. That's what my goal. Every week from December through the end of May, I'm going to drop one of these, hopefully on Wednesdays, and continue this. Because these, again, are the in-depth stories, pulling the curtain back on what it took to do what we were doing in those days. Some of these, you know, stories that you just wouldn't hear about unless we were sitting around just chatting, like I've said before, over a dinner somewhere or around the campfire. I use that analogy too. All right, so let's go back to the year 2005 to the month of May now. We've already come through January, February, March, and April with the discovery of how to do live streaming video through Jim Williams, you know, kind of trying to reach me there while I was on vacation and tell me about this incredible thing he's got to enlighten me about. And I learned how to do it. I worked with Jesse. I worked with my good friend Jason. We started solving problems, figuring out how to do live video. Jesse and I tested it fairly robustly on the way to and during the National Hurricane Conference in New Orleans, which is what the subject of last week's podcast was all about. And we had made really good progress. We figured out, yes, we can do live video from the Tahoe using a Sony Handycam camcorder, Firewire cable, remember those, and a Sony Vaio laptop. And that was all powered by an inverter that was hardwired to the electrical system, the alternator and all of that of the 01 Chevy Tahoe that I had. So we had plenty of power. We had a way to do it. The camera was mounted on the dashboard. And so it wouldn't be a webcam. It was going to be like a video camera. So you could zoom in and, you know, it was nice. It had audio as well. And we figured, okay, we can do this over the Sprint network. It works pretty well. It's about a 180 pixel by 120 pixel high and wide. That's the aspect ratio. It was still square, 4x3, but 180 by 120, 30 kilobits per second. That's 30,000 bits of data per second. I mean, right? Hold on to your hats, man. That was fast. At least it was back then, seemingly. And a frame rate of anywhere from 10 to 12 frames per second. And I learned that I could adjust all of this on the fly in Windows Media Encoder. I got more proficient with it, learned how to deal with it and adjust things and try to get the best possible stream with audio. That was huge. I really wanted there to be audio so that you could feel like, at least in 05, my goal was to bring you with me and immerse you like you're there in the Tahoe with our team, with myself, with Jesse, with Mike Watkins. You're with us. You know, any hurricanes we went out for, I wanted you to be there with us. That was the initial goal. Okay, we've got this power. Here's what we're going to do with it. But something came along in the month of May that kind of changed everything and motivated me to try something different. So remember my good friend from CNN, Jeff Flock. I talked about him starting in 1999 when I met him during Hurricane Dennis, and then we worked together again during Hurricane Floyd that year. Jeff and I met up again in the year 2002. He still was with CNN at that time. We worked Hurricane Lily together, he and his crew and myself and John Van Pelt. We all worked the Hurricane Lily mission. I discussed that in the Lily 02 episode, whatever episode that was of the podcast from the first season. And then we had another opportunity in 2003 during Hurricane Isabel, where CNN was literally with us for several days. It was me, Jeff Flock, his crew, Jesse Bass, and John, and we were all together. And, you know, Jeff became a real good friend of ours. It was remarkable. You know, he was the Chicago bureau chief, very well respected, as I said before. He had been with CNN since the early days when Ted Turner brought everybody together to create this new 24-hour news network from Atlanta, Georgia. Jeff eventually became the Chicago bureau chief. I don't know exactly what that means, but that's what he was. At least once I met him in the 90s through the early 2000s. I guess he lived up in Chicago at some point, obviously he did. And, I mean, he was just great to work with, always lighthearted. Very professional, very enthusiastic, really, you know, wasn't there just to earn the paycheck. His heart was in it, and it was always a tremendous amount of fun working with Jeff. So he retired sometime in 2004, I think it was, and was on the phone with me during Charlie. I talked about that in the Charlie episode. I think he was in Vermont or New Hampshire or somewhere, just trying to enjoy retirement, but he's seeing these hurricanes, this big siege that came in 2004, and he just couldn't stay on the sidelines any longer. As I talked about, by the time we got to Francis and even Ivan that year in 04, he put together a little bit of money and a small group of people, a producer and a couple of field people and photographers and whatnot, and pitched this idea to a production company that he knew, Towers Productions in Chicago, of maybe doing a pilot episode of something about this hurricane landfall project. It ended up going nowhere, unfortunately, but you know, he was wanting to get back in. You can tell he was not going to just sit along, you know, in the rocking chair. And Jeff had to be young. I mean, he wasn't, like, as far as I know, 65 years old when you think about retiring, right? And he was just done. I guess that was it. He was ready to try different things. And maybe he wanted to write a book. I don't remember, but he definitely couldn't sit still. So he comes to the National Hurricane Conference, as I mentioned in the last episode, in New Orleans. We have a wonderful time chatting it up. And I think that really helped to reinvigorate him. He also saw that hurricanes were really back in the news. You know, the 04 season was itself historic with all the hurricanes that we had that impacted the Southeast and in particular Florida. And then he saw the writing on the wall that the 2005 season, at this point, March, April, into early May, really seeing the signs that it was going to be a very, very busy season. And he wanted to get back in the game. And I guess he wanted to do something on his own. You know, he wasn't going to pick up the phone and call CNN and say, hey, I want to come back and cover hurricanes or whatever. He wanted to strike out on his own and do something different. The internet was really taking root by now. And CNN itself was starting to get into this live video. And they had this project called CNN Pipeline. I don't know if you remember that, but it was one of, if not the first, it was like their way of giving you live video of just stuff. And it was like in a quad panel array. And I think you would pay $24.95 a month or a year. I think it was a year. And you could just kind of watch through this pipeline idea, just raw video feeds, online streaming. You know, maybe they'd have a camera on the White House or a camera, I don't know, you know, it was just, you'd have to look it up. It's probably somewhere in the internet archives. And so that was parallel to when I was trying to do live video through Hurricane Track, bring you into the Tahoe with us, you know, like I said, immerse you in what we were doing. And Jeff saw all of this. And like I said, the internet was really taking off. Websites were, especially news sites, very powerful, a lot of eyeballs on them, a lot of new innovations coming along. And the internet, the ability of the mobile internet, people had PCM cards for their laptops, you know, through Sprint or Verizon, I guess it was. And things were just moving forward, you know, the way technology evolves. 05 looked like it was going to be the dawn of a new era, and boy, it certainly was. And I am very proud to say that we were on the cutting edge of that, in our own little corner of the world of tech and weather. We were there. And I remember, there's a couple of things here before I get into the crux of the story. It was in the spring of 05, after the National Hurricane Conference, some different people from the Weather Channel, I can't remember how this came to be. You know, the Weather Channel knew exactly who I was, and their digital, weather.com, back when it was part of the Weather Channel, now it's not, and that's very complicated to explain. But they took an interest in what we were doing, and we met with a few people from weather.com, the digital side of the Weather Channel, and even the network folks kind of tossing around ideas for maybe capturing video, sharing video, is there a way to upload video that you shoot? And we started talking about some things and tried to piece together some ideas And that never really took off. You know, it was kind of scattershot. You had some people that were, you know, really forward thinking about it. Let's do it. Let's be proactive. Some others were like, well, no, we kind of, we're the Weather Channel. We do our own stuff. We're good. And it never really grew into anything. And that was okay. You know, I had Lowe's and I had Sprint as my partners, my financial backers and sponsors, if you want to call them that. And so it wasn't like I needed some contract with the Weather Channel to validate my existence. It was just kind of neat, you know, the opportunity to maybe work alongside Jim Cantore. Sure, could be exciting, but it never took root. And so we get into May, and I get this email that really motivated me to take a different look at what exactly I was going to do with this whole idea of streaming live video. Well, I'm getting some work done on the website one evening there in early May. Probably talked to Jesse that evening about another idea that I had. The wheels were just constantly turning, trust me. Always, always trying to think of the next thing that we can do to make that mousetrap, as they say, the best that it can possibly be. And I get this email from Jeff Flock. And, you know, it's nice to always hear from Jeff. Oh, look, an email from Jeff. And he said, you know, in the email something like, hurricane live idea as the subject, whatever. And he said, hey, I got this idea. I'd love to schedule a time when we can talk. I'm thinking about bringing you in on it. What's your availability? And I was like, well, right now, if you want to. So lo and behold, within the hour, I'm on the phone with Jeff, and he pitches this idea of getting back into the news and reporting business from the weather side of things to cover hurricanes. He knew how big hurricanes were. Again, coming off that big 04 season, the writing on the wall of how big the 05 season was probably going to be, and he wanted back in. And so he had this idea of maybe pooling our resources. And would I be interested in working with him and a couple of other friends of his that were also in the business? A gentleman named Rob Hess and a gentleman named Tom Casale, all of them, I believe, up in the Chicago area working with Jeff. And they wanted to create like a news and reporting live, also, you know, upload packages kind of website. And when I say a package, you're out in the field and you edit together a story, like a 2.5 minute package. That's what they call it. And you could do these look lives, which we had been doing since 2004. Those are the ones. Well, here's what one sounds like here.
Hi, Mark Sutter, HurricaneTrack.com. It's about 9 o'clock Eastern time. We're here in Var Beach, Florida, with the rain coming down, a little bit of wind. It's turning out not to be the very major event that we were preparing for, which is obviously really good news for folks along the northern Gulf Coast. You don't need another hurricane right now, and hopefully Arlene won't make it to hurricane strength before it makes landfall.
So Jeff wanted to do those, you know, do a few of those look lives, but also really get into doing more live. Even if it's just audio, live reporting, video's the best, obviously. And he was thinking along the lines of what I was thinking early on in 2005, and that was that we could use local hotspots. McDonald's, a hotel. There were not that many back in 2005, not like they are now. They're pretty much ubiquitous. I mean, even cities now have public hotspots. And as we know, broadband is generally universal right now in 2020. But in 2005, really solid Wi-Fi hotspots, those were much fewer and farther between. And so his idea was when they could, we, us, whoever. And again, he was just kicking around ideas. He wasn't trying to compete, and he wasn't wanting to step on my toes. He made that very clear. And we were just talking about things, you know. Here's what I'm thinking is what he said. That I want to do some live stuff is what he talked about. And if you want to be a part of this, you know, I would love to try to figure that out. And it really got me thinking that if Jeff thinks that this is a big thing, then I'm probably onto something here, because I was already well ahead of him figuring out how to do live video from the vehicle. He didn't even mention that. You know, mobile broadband. I had that sort of ace in the hole with Sprint. His idea was was kind of like, I felt like he was about 2 months behind me. You know, that he knew that they could do some live stuff. The broadband out there was getting better, but it was still hotspot based. You'd have to find a Wi-Fi hotspot. And he could do these sort of pop-ups, scheduled times during hurricanes, and do some live material on a brand new hurricane-related news and information and reporting website. Maybe bring in other people, other correspondents. Grow this, maybe get some sponsors and turn it into its own news kind of site. And that was his pitch. And I said, you know, naturally, well, I'll think about it. Let me talk to Jesse and Mike and let me just think, you know, because we're trying to do some stuff similar to that. And I don't know. I mean, it might not, you know, I don't want to compete with you, but we may end up competing with each other. And I was very upfront about it. And he was agreeable. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, we want to, you know, we were really good friends. This was not any kind of a major competition to see who could reach the finish line first or anything like that. And he had a tremendous amount of obvious reporting experience and production experience and probably sizable amounts of funding that he could put into it from his own capital resources. I, too, was well-funded and equipped from Lowe's and Sprint. And so it was kind of this quiet but very amicable arms race as to who is going to get to do this first. And I talked it over with Jesse, and he thought, you know, yep, that would be amazing to be able to work with the great Jeff Flock. It could do some neat things, but what are you going to do about Hurricane Track? You got Lowe's, you got Sprint. If they bring on sponsors, that could compete with yours, and you could have some conflicts of interest. And it just started to sound too complicated. And I got back to Jeff, and I said, you know, it's probably going to be best that you do this yourself. There's room for it. Absolutely. You know, it's not like I'm going to try to talk you out of it. There's no reason to. And I'll even help you as best I can. I can still contribute. You can do interviews with me, but I cannot be a partner with it. And we cannot, like, bring on Hurricane Track as a co-brand or a co-partner because you're going to have sponsors that could compete or have conflicts with my partners and sponsors, again, Lowe's and Sprint, and that could create a problem. And he understood, and that was that. And we both continued to work in parallel through the month of May and into June on what we were going to do. Now, Jeff and his two guys that he was working with, Rob and Tom, came up with this website, and I haven't even checked it lately. It might still be out there. I don't even know. It was called, and here's what he wanted to do, kind of leave you in suspense here. Again, kind of this amalgamation of hurricane news information, what we now know of as blogging. Did they call it blogging 15 years ago? I know I had what's now known as a blog. The Hurricane Outlook and Discussion was in text and picture format, you know, what we now use WordPress for. Yeah, I was doing that a long time ago. Is all the way back to 1999, for goodness sakes. Anyhow, you know, he wanted what we now know as blogging and even what we now know as tweets, you know, little micro bits of information, you know, micro blogs as they call them, and these look live pieces. You know, basically, if HurricaneTrack.com could become a heavily funded news site too, and Jeff were to work for us, that's what this would be. Basically. So he started his own, and he called it, and they bought the domain, Hurricane Now, N-O-W, HurricaneNow.com. That was the name of their project. I don't remember exactly when they launched it. I think it was June of that year, which would make sense, because that's when the hurricane season began. But I'm going to tell you what it did. It motivated me. All right, we got some competition. They're going to be doing some stuff similar to what we're doing. We're going to do it from the vehicle, presumably 24 hours a day, wherever we have mobile broadband. And I got to come up with something beyond that, that nobody has. And again, you know, they say competition, friendly competition is a good motivator. So this is exactly what that was. It motivated me to spend hours and hours and hours on the phone talking Jesse's ear off, and also talking with a really good friend of mine now, I just barely knew him back then, from Nevada. And his name is Paul Bowman. Now, eventually, I'm going to have Paul on so that we can talk about this in more detail. So I want to wait on that because we're going to make it happen. He's just hard to get hold of. He lives three time zones away, so our schedules are different. And we're going to get there because the story of how I met Paul is fascinating. And the problems that he kind of helped me to solve going into June and then especially July are monumental. I mean, truly one of those absolute bookmark, like that is it. That's a watershed, you know, flag in the ground, whatever you want to call it. Benchmark moment was some groundbreaking ideas that Paul brought to the table where Jesse and I both were just, our jaws were agape. You know, wow, why didn't we think of that? Thanks, Paul. Paul became an integral part of growing the live video idea as 2005 unfolded even further. You know, once we got past June and into July, and then I was ready, as we will get to, when I finally get Paul in here, we're going to do it. I promise, if I have to fly out to Pahrump, Nevada, that's where he lives, nail him down, you know, and hey, Paul, we're going to do that interview. We're going to make it happen as soon as I can, because it is a fascinating story. Because, you know, Paul didn't live in North Carolina. I didn't know him from, you know, locally. I knew him from the internet. I can at least, you know, explain that part of the story. I first heard from Paul in 2003 during Isabel. He was watching CNN, saw Jeff Flock talking about what we were doing, you know, in one of his live shots there from Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. And Paul was in a restaurant or a bar or something in Pahrump, and he saw it and looked me up. He's resourceful like that. The website, hurricanetrack.com, it was on TV. And I guess I must have had a contact in there, like a contact us page. And Paul thought nothing of it, and he got to the contact page. My phone number was on there. You wouldn't dare do that now. Just too many. I mean, the internet's too big now. You can't do stuff like that. That's what direct messages are for and so forth. But my phone number was on there, and he texted me from Nevada and said, I'm sitting in, I thought he said a bar. I swear he did. I'm watching you on television. I love weather. I'm into this kind of stuff. I'm in south, you know, southern Nevada, near a town called Pahrump, and I just think what you're doing is cool. You know, I'm a big tech guy, blah, 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 blah. And I remember telling John and Jesse, you know, guys, we just got this weird text from a dude who's watching the coverage on CNN from some bar in Nevada. And I remember I had enough imagination, right, that my brain pictured kind of a pilot type, like Bruce Willis with a leather jacket, sitting at a bar having a cold one, like, yes, you know, like Nellis Air Force Base is over near Las Vegas. Pahrump is 75 miles away. You know, the two are not close to each other, but, you know, an old flyboy could be hanging out in Pahrump, I guess, at a bar. Maybe he's retired from Nellis. I don't know. Your imagination just goes crazy. There's no Facebook in 2003. You can't look people up, you know, oh, that's who the guy is, you know, profile pics or whatever. It doesn't exist. It's just this neat message from Paul in Nevada watching us on CNN. And 2 years later, when we started doing the live testing, because he bookmarked the site, we reconnected and started emailing and talking more through email. And by the time we got to the early summer, and this is where I'll stop this part of the podcast and this episode, because I do want Paul to come in and talk about it with us. I think it's just much more fascinating to get his part of the story as well, and I think you will agree. But we did. We started talking more, and he would become a very, very key figure in making all of this work, starting in the summer of 2005, and that is where we will pick up on, hopefully, in next week's episode of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. So a little bit shorter this time around, but I wanted to just kind of go back and look at that one part. This is a story that not a lot of people know about. You know, some people knew that I was good friends with Jeff Flock, but that friendly little competition thing, he was going to go do the Hurricane Now. I was working on a very similar path at Hurricane Track, but I really liked having that edge. You know, what can I do that's different than that if they succeed? I still want to have, you know, a one-upmanship kind of deal going on. And again, it's all friendly, very amicable, and we worked very well together. There was no, it didn't conflict with our friendship at all. And we'll talk about that later. And I've even reached out to Jeff, so you know. And he's busy. He's, by the way, not retired any longer. I believe he's at Fox Business or something like that. And he just couldn't stay out, right? So hopefully we can pull Jeff in sometime and talk to him about some of these stories. That remarkable 2005 season, Paul as well, working on all of it as we move ahead and go through the next weeks and months here, looking back at least for now, the 2005 season. Again, I appreciate you tuning in from your device. I appreciate it very much. Join me again next week as we continue our journey down the Hurricane Highway. I am Mark Suddeth for Hurricane Track. I'll talk to you then.